It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk. Seeing on TV right now, we've got the NHL draft lottery going on. A week from today, though, the NBA draft lottery. Well, Pelicans fans will be tuned in, anxiously waiting to see where the ping pong balls end up falling for the birds. To help us break down that and all the NBA playoffs going on right now, all things Pelicans, make sure you check out Locked On Pelicans with Jake Madison joining us now. Jake, how was your weekend and how you doing today? Have a margarita yet?
No margaritas yet, still recovering from Jazz Fest this past weekend, but happy to be on Talking Hoops with you here.
Awesome stuff. I'm glad the weather held up for you, too, this weekend for Jazz Fest. Looking at these playoffs, we've made it to the conference semifinals now. Were there any of those first-round matchups for you that kind of took you surprise on how they ended? I guess the biggest one, I guess the Golden State Warriors being able to take down the number two seeded Rockets, but with Steph Curry leading the way, I don't think you ever doubt the Dubs.
No, like I wouldn't call that series a surprise per se, even though the lower seed won and the team going through the play-in tournament won. But I think it also shows that the Rockets need to make some sort of change. They kind of won based on defense all year long. And in a final game, you hold your opponent to 103 points in a game seven, and you still lose by double digits. It's an offensive-driven league right now. They need to make some big changes, and that's going to be something that maybe has an impact on the Pelicans, right? That's a team that really could make a run at someone like Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks after their, you know, disappointing first-round series. The Pelicans can get in play in that sort of thing, probably should be in play as a facilitator at the very least. So maybe it's a good thing for New Orleans that the Rockets got bounced out kind of early.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. They need to add star power, Jake. They just don't have enough. And Jalen Green was kind of a no-show, and you know maybe he'll be part of a trade for a superstar player like a Giannis. I've also heard Kevin Durant's name thrown out there. You know, Devin Booker was a couple months ago, I think, but he could potentially also be on the chopping block. It's these teams that are in real bad situations, like Milwaukee, like Phoenix, that could be selling star players, and Houston should definitely be buyers.
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at they could go in a number of different directions. I don't know if, you know, with that young core, you want to put someone on like really the back kind of couple of years of his career like Kevin Durant would be. I think Giannis makes more sense, kind of maybe fits in with their defensive first culture too under Ime Udoka, their head coach. I think that's the direction they'd likely go, but it feels like if they want to take a leap forward, it's not going to be on the back of Jalen Green. They're going to need to just do something else that gives them a little bit more consistency. Green is kind of boom or bust at times, and I don't think that's a good way to, you know, try and win an NBA title.
Fun series was watching the Denver Nuggets and LA Clippers, and once again the Clippers end up disappointing. Nuggets coming out on top and seem to be all right after they ended up firing their head coach right before the playoffs get underway. What have you seen out of Denver? Could they, you know, legitimately challenge the OKC Thunder, who have just been on a tear?
I think OKC was just licking their chops watching that game seven there, just waiting for whoever it's going to be. You're going to come in and play a very well-rested OKC team. Denver, who, you know, right after winning that game, had to get on a flight the next day to go travel to Oklahoma City. There's no rest there for that team, and they were pushed to a game seven. And look, if they play any other team, I'm not sure if they advance. It took, you know, just a usual game seven choke job from James Harden in that one, a no-show from him, for them to win that game. And if he shows up even a little bit, I think you could be looking at the Clippers advancing in us, maybe not believing in that team either. So I think whoever it was going to be playing OKC, OKC is going to be a favorite by a mile.
Before we get into the draft lottery, because I do want to throw some questions at you, Jake, I want to get your thoughts on now the Minnesota-Golden State series. With a sixth seed hosting, you know, a second-round series in the playoffs, it's pretty unusual, but you know, Golden State's not a very typical seven seed either. At the same time, Minnesota looks so impressive against a very, I guess, flawed Lakers team is what you would say. They had a lot of holes that Minnesota was able to exploit. And I think that, you know, Golden State also has some similar issues with size. I know they were able to get out of that series against Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams, but those two big lineups gave them a lot of issues. I think that Minnesota can throw that out at them as well. I think it's going to be a really fun series. Vegas has Minnesota as slight favorites, and I think they're kind of on the money there.
Yeah, I think so. Look, Anthony Edwards, you know, can be one of the future faces of the league if he's not already there. He's got some attitude to him, which I think kind of elevates him here. This is really going to be a series where he can kind of propel himself to superstardom, and I think he's really ready for that task, right? That's a guy who's massively driven, is going to have watched that series between Golden State and Houston and really want to kind of take it to Steph Curry here. It's really going to come down to him, but you saw Rudy Gobert play exceptionally well, not get played off of the court in that series against the Lakers either, defending well on the perimeter, which has always kind of been the knock on him for a multiple time defensive player of the year. This one's going to be a lot of fun. And look, it might just come down to who's making their threes. If Golden State is going to look like the Splash Brothers of old, even though they don't have Klay Thompson with Jimmy Butler there, that's going to be something that just no team can really keep up with. You saw Steph Curry even struggle early on in that game seven against the Houston Rockets. He's going to need to be kind of on the whole series here, but I think Minnesota ultimately wins.
Jake, looking at the game going on right now, the series just started, game one, Boston Celtics, New York Knicks. If you listen to most of the sports media out there, the Knickerbockers, they're not getting much of a chance at all in this series. Folks calling it maybe a 4-5 game series at most. And I just curious your thoughts on the Knicks standing up any kind of chance against this Celtics squad that we know can fire away very easily.
Yeah, I think the Celtics just present a lot of problems for the Knicks. That's a team they just match up very poorly against. And when you saw the Knicks in that really tough series against the Detroit Pistons, which probably physically wore them down a good bit too, their offense looked stuck in mud. They weren't getting shots off till 4 or 5 seconds left in the shot clock, just playing with a really slow pace. And that works if your other team, if your opponent plays slow and wants to play slow, but Celtics play fast. They fire away from three. And if you're working hard for twos and the Celtics are getting easy threes, the math is just not going to work out in your favor. It's going to be a big problem. I see why people are saying this. It looks like a five-game series. I don't have it on now, so I don't know what the score is at the exact moment here. But I just think the Celtics are going to roll in this one. And I don't know if the Knicks are going to present a ton of trouble. There'll be some stretches where they out-hustle you, out-work you. But overall, it's going to come down to can they score and can they do it consistently and easily like the Boston Celtics will, and I think the answer to that is no.
Jake, we got eight teams left. Is anyone going to be stopping Boston versus OKC in the finals?
It's tough to see a team that would. You know, I think the Cavaliers are in for a tougher series than they'd like against the Indiana Pacers, particularly with them stealing home court advantage the other night and winning game one of that series. And Indiana is just an annoying team. Now, I don't necessarily see them winning the series, but they're going to make you work for it. And going into your next series, you're going to feel exhausted from that. And if it's the Cavaliers, you know, taking six games, seven games to beat the Pacers and then going in against a well-rested Boston team, like, that doesn't bode well for them, in my opinion. So I still think it's OKC and Boston in the finals.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You know, Jake, we're a week removed from the lottery for the NBA, and it's a gigantic night for the Pelicans, obviously, who have the fourth best odds to land the number one overall pick in the Cooper Flagg draft. But all in all, it's basically a coin flip for whether or not they get into the top four or not. You know, it's like a 48.1% chance that they land a top four pick, but then it's also like a 52% chance that they fall out of the top four and get either pick 5, 6, 7. The lowest they can go is 8, but at pick 8, you only have a 2.2% chance to get that. The most likely is pick 6. My question to you is that we kind of know the top four picks and how they're ordered a little bit with Cooper Flagg and then, you know, Harper from Rutgers, Bailey from Rutgers as well, and then VJ Edgecombe from Baylor. If the Pelicans get the wrong end of the coin flip and fall out of the top four and let's say get pick 5 or pick 6, who are some prospects that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that you could really look at in that area that really could be a difference maker for the team. And I think you start with Kaspar Siakoutsonis from Illinois. They need a point guard on this team. You know, DeJounte Murray's not going to be healthy to start the year. They need someone to kind of fill that gap till he comes back, and maybe you bring him off the bench and figure out what to do with him at that point in time. Siakoutsonis is really good size. He was a little bit disappointing in conference play, and that's where you really want to measure some of these prospects by. That's something that probably has not come out of the top four of this draft where he would have been otherwise, but he's a name to keep an eye on. Derek Queen had a really good, you know, tournament as well. That's a big man with good size who can rebound decently well, but also has some range, a three-point shot, a mid-range shot. There's some Karl Anthony Towns or Naz Reid in the way that he plays. That's the type of archetype, that type of player that would fit really well next to Zion Williamson. Keep an eye on those names, but look, if things go really wrong for the Pelicans in this lottery, you know, they could fall to 7 or 8 in this one too. That's when I think they might look at trading the pick and trying to kind of go all in next year a little bit more. I think that'd be a little bit short-sighted. I wouldn't recommend that they do that, but I don't think it would be off the table for them to try and make some sort of big swing trade, really kind of maximize what, you know, whatever time it is you have left with Zion Williamson and see if Joe Dumars can kind of make a move right off the bat that sets the tone for the rest of his tenure here.
You mentioned Joe Dumars there. And he's the new executive vice president of basketball operations for the Pelicans. The team also hiring Troy Weaver to be the senior vice president of basketball operations. What are your thoughts on the addition of Weaver along with Dumars?
You know, it's interesting that the Pelicans have gotten basically the past three people that have run the Detroit Pistons, and this is a team that took 21 years to win their next playoff game. So it's not ideal in my opinion. But look, you know, I think when you get someone like Weaver, who is known as a very strong talent evaluator, a very good drafter, and when you look at this Detroit Pistons team this year, his fingerprints are all over it in acquiring the players, drafting the guys, making those kind of moves, and it just needed a little bit longer for it to pay off. That's an area that Joe Dumars struggles with. You know, he's very good at trading for talent. That's how he built that 04 Pistons title team. But the drafting was really subpar for him. If you get someone that kind of covers for your weaknesses, that's a smart move. Someone that, you know, kind of you can focus on your strengths and let someone take over those other duties. And Troy Weaver is someone who likes to be very hands-on, very involved in that process. From that perspective, I like it. Even if on the surface, you look at his tenure in Detroit and it doesn't look particularly great.
You know, Jake, looking at the draft lottery again and the top four selection. So if the Pelicans do get into that top four, I kind of want to go prospect by prospect. I mentioned the names, but starting out with Cooper Flagg, who, in your opinion, is he the quote unquote gold chip prospect? I know maybe not necessarily on someone like Victor Wembanyama scale, but right up there with like Anthony Edwards and some of the other guys that have come out recently.
Yeah, this is a guy that's going to impact winning at a high level in the NBA, and that's what you're hoping for with the number one overall pick. And his numbers might not be the most flashy when you see him out there at the NBA level. I don't know if he's a guy that's ever going to average 25 points per game or something along those lines, but I think that's okay. This is someone who's going to give you something like 18 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists per game with a block or two and a steal and give you just high-level defense. He's the type of guy that you can really build a culture around, build a team around, and I think he is by far and away the number one overall pick in this draft and the guy that, you know, teams are really going to be clamoring for. When you look at these playoffs, one of the things you notice is star players need to do things when the ball isn't in their hands on offense. Cooper Flagg does all of that, and he's the type of guy that wherever you slot him in, whatever team it's going to be, he's going to impact winning at a very, very high level, and that's really important for what you need at the NBA right now.
The 3-4 in this draft seems a little bit more controversial than just the two, because there is the drop-off after Cooper Flagg, as you mentioned, but Dylan Harper from Rutgers, the point guard slash shooting guard, kind of a combo guard, the son of Ron Harper, he's got the NBA bloodlines. What are your thoughts on, you know, Dylan Harper, who's probably going to be the number two pick?
Yeah, I think he is solidly at number two. I think, you know, if you're kind of doing this the way I group these guys, is tier one players are guys that could go number one overall. And the only guy that's tier one, in my opinion, this year is Cooper Flagg. I think Dylan Harper's kind of in his own tier two this year. Look, you need he reminds me a lot of Ja Morant, I think, a guy that with some really good size, good strength, plays playing downhill, creates for others that way, projects to be a good three-point shooter at the NBA level. It's the type of guy you just want on your team and can kind of be that lead guard for you and fits what is working right now in the NBA. Kind of coming from that background of, you know, a dad who played in the league. So he kind of has not just like the good genetics with it, but probably an idea of what it takes to succeed. I think that can be a really underrated quality, a guy that just knows what it takes to win and how to take care of yourself, how to be a professional. Those type of qualities are really important. So I'm very high on him. And if the Pelicans end up at number two overall, that's who I imagine they would end up drafting.
And Jake, curious your take on this as well. We've gotten a few people maybe suggesting Zion Williamson could be dealt somewhere, whether it's draft night or before that. Just do you think that this team is ready to move on, starting anew with Joe Dumars, or it's more like you want to keep a guy like Zion around to be this anchor for this squad?
You know, I think if you end up trading him, you have to commit to a rebuild and know that that's the direction that you're going in. And I think some of that can be really predicated on where do you end up in the lottery in this. Well, you know, we'll have a better idea come Monday of what the direction and future of Zion Williamson in this team is. You know, I think when you go back to Joe Dumars' press conference and hearing him kind of speak about the qualities, the intangibles of the players he wants, he said there's two people walking in the building. There's the player, and we can all see that, we can all evaluate that, but then there's the person, and you've got to know if they want to be great, if they want to commit to the hard work and do all of that stuff. But that doesn't particularly describe Zion Williamson, in my opinion. And so that's where I think you're going to see Joe Dumars sit down with him and kind of really see if they're going to get the type of buy-in that Zion needs to be getting going into year 7 in the NBA at this point in time. And if Joe Dumars doesn't think that's there in Zion Williamson, you can really clearly see the traits that Joe Dumars cares about. Grit, toughness, putting in the work, all of those things. I think he's going to try and kind of suss that out from Zion Williamson, and if you don't see it, I would not be surprised if they make a move and try and kind of remake this team, remake the roster a little bit, kind of in the vein of a different culture.
Last one for you here about the lottery, Jake, because I think it's interesting with Joe Dumars coming in as the lead executive, his draft history in Detroit was less than stellar, let's call it. Troy Weaver, a little bit of a different story. He brought in some good pieces for that Detroit Pistons team before he ended up moving on. And then you also still have Bryson Graham here, who's done some good things in the Pelicans scouting department. Your thoughts on if the Pelicans fall out of those top two picks, which we've already said are kind of segmented with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper, you know, if they get the third overall selection, for instance, would you say that they would target someone like a VJ Edgecombe or an Ace Bailey? Or what are your kind of thoughts on those two prospects and how they kind of fit what some of the front office members have scouted recently?
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, I think Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe are kind of tied for the third best prospect in the league. You know, Ace Bailey has all of the tools you want to be a really good NBA player, really good size, but his shot selection leaves a lot to be desired. And this maybe kind of comes down to Joe Dumars' vision. And kind of the big question that people have asked about him is, has the game passed him by? This is someone who did not really love analytics during his time in Detroit. Was not someone who kind of saw the trends where the league was going when it came to three-point shooting and the like. That's a big problem. And Ace Bailey is kind of more of a mid-range guy, a throwback kind of guy. Looks like he can shoot the three well, but has not done so consistently. So they kind of need to figure what type of team do you want to build. You know, VJ Edgecombe is that kind of high-flying guard, I think, the type of guy that does work really well in the NBA right now, projects to be a very good three-point shooter, a guy that works well off-ball too, whereas Ace Bailey doesn't as much. I think those are kind of the big debates with that guy. I think Ace Bailey might truly have one of the highest ceilings in this draft, maybe more so than Dylan Harper, maybe a little bit more so potentially than Cooper Flagg, I even think. But there's big questions if he'll reach that sort of ceiling when it comes down to it. And that's why I think it makes him a really tricky prospect to try and evaluate.
Thank you, as always, for the time, Jake. Hopefully we get a little luck on our side a week from today with the NBA draft lottery. Thank you, though, for your time on Cinco de Mayo. Go get yourself a Margie.
All right, sounds good. Will do, because you said so here. Thank you.
Thanks, Jake.
For all things Pelican, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.